All knotted up at two apiece. It's a brand new series here. We are still here at Gather at Deer District here in Milwaukee. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm here with just a couple of NBA champs. We've got Kendrick Perkins over there. We've got Richard, who's having some attention issues.
I was curious. Is like that shot over the shoulder. It's uh-huh. like I was like, where's the camera? I was just confused. Mm-hmm. That was it.
The people who work with us are very talented and make us look good.
So talented.
And there you go. Yeah. Perk, I have to be impressed with Richard though, because look how conservative he is today. He only has one button on the collar.
It just doesn't really flow the way I want it to. I tried to see with the look, but it'll be back. We'll be back to the two buttons.
He just ran out of the white shirts.
I brought three.
With the way things have been going this week, I thought Richard's buttons were going to make it all the way down to the belly button today. So I am going to consider this a win.
Yeah.
Coming up, we have a win for all of you guys as well. The best playoff blocks of all time, ranked by our jump staff, of course, off of Giannis's block last night. Of all the plays in basketball, there is something particularly crushing about a turnover. You had it, and then you lost it. And all you can do is watch as your opponent runs up the court, turns that fumbled opportunity into something fantastic of their own. Last night here in Milwaukee, the Suns had it. They had Devin Booker, who'd finished with 42 and was so hot in the first three quarters in particular, he appeared on the brink of bursting into actual flames. They had a decent effort defensively, keeping the Bucks shooting at around 40%, as they often successfully walled Giannis off from the paint. They were even able to keep DeAndre Ayton out of foul trouble, which had been their death knell back in Game 3. By the fourth quarter, it had all conspired to give the Suns a 9-point lead. They just had to hang on, and they'd be heading back to Arizona up 3-1 with a chance to close things out at home. They had it. And then they lost it in front of a raucous Milwaukee crowd that is becoming one of the sweetheart stories of these finals. More than 25,000 fans flooded the streets outside the arena last night. And inside, well, even the grandmas were on point. Remember the other night when Packers offensive lineman David Bakhtiari whipped up the crowd by chugging a beer on the Jumbotron and then got his father to do it too? Well, last night, it was this lady. Honestly, this might be the most Wisconsin thing ever, and I love every part of it. And so did the fans, who even as Phoenix led last night, seemed ready to explode at the slightest opportunity. And they got it less than a minute into the fourth quarter when Booker, yep, turned the ball over. Out of bounds, it was a sloppy moment that would turn into something much more damaging after the Bucks then took the ball back up the floor. Not only did Jrue Holiday end up nailing a shot to turn the possession into points, in the scramble beforehand to defend, Book committed his fifth foul, sending him to the bench. The next minutes became an exercise in just kind of hanging on for Phoenix, with Monty Williams trying to see just how long the team could manage without their leading scorer. Monty would later say he probably should have subbed Devin back in a minute earlier than he did. As it was, the Suns did keep the lead with Devin on the sideline, but you could feel the momentum turning. The Bucks then got a huge three from Pat Connaughton, followed by some straight heaters from Chris Middleton, who proved yet again last night he can close basketball games. It's not just that Chris dropped 40 points. It's that 10 of them came in the final 2 minutes, 7 seconds of play. Oh. Just spectacular stuff delivered with absolutely no fear. And he had some help. This block from Giannis, going to be on finals highlight reels till the end of time. Booker and Ayton, they've completed thousands of alley-oops. And this one, with about 70 seconds on the clock, would have tied up the game. But instead, Giannis happened. I mean, my Lord. I asked Giannis to describe his approach in those final minutes.
What was going through your mind?
You know, how about do you want it? You know, how about do you really want it? And just leave the game, you know, swinging kind of mentality. Try to be aggressive. Try to get stops. You know, try to set screens. Like, do everything physically possible to put yourself in a position to win this game. We kept getting stopped, we kept running, we kept rebounding the ball, we kept blocking shots, so we wanted this bad, and the team showed it tonight.
How bad do you want it? Look, as determined as Giannis was, as tremendous as that block was, the Suns still did have the chance to tie the game with less than 30 on the clock. Chris Paul, leading the break, gets way too fancy trying to shed Jrue Holiday, slips, and loses the ball. It was Chris Paul's fifth turnover of the night, part of a 17-turnover night overall for Phoenix, which they will have the plane ride home today to think about how close they came to taking command of these finals. They had it. and then they lost it. And now with the series all tied up, they are running out of chances to get it back again. Guys, I do want to take a look. I spotlighted that Devin Booker, right? He recorded his fifth foul. This is how the fourth quarter went. After that fifth foul, the Bucks outscoring the Suns 30-18, out-rebounding them 17-8. So, Perk, for you, what is the biggest reason for the Bucks flipping that switch in the fourth quarter and getting this win?
Well, it was a few of them, Rachel, and one of them was the points off of turnovers. I thought the Bucks did a great job of hanging their hats on the defensive end and forcing the Phoenix Suns to turn over the ball and getting out in transition, which sparked the run. Secondly, money-making Middleton happened, all right?
Ooh, who I've been preaching. Here we go.
I'm not about to even start the Batman and Robin thing. I'm just going to say, if you want to win some lettuce, put your money on money-making Middleton. Chris Middleton, this is the moment that I've been waiting for, the moment when it comes down to that possession-by-possession game, and he showed us why he's that closer. This guy is really, really special, and I love how Giannis embraced the role of deferring to him, setting the screen so that he can get to his spots, his pull-up jump shots at the 15-foot range, attacking downhill. That's what happened in the fourth quarter. Chris Middleton.
Yeah, and me and Perk are in a complete agreement on this. There's never been a criticism There's never been a criticism on Giannis because obviously he's great, but playing this game, the highest level of people are always saying, like, look, you got to have someone that is clutch in the fourth quarter because he's going to get you this. And game three was a blowout, so there wasn't a need for these shots. But boy, when it was time for him to show up, he showed up. Chris Middleton was hitting big shots. He was playing quality defense. And this was on a night where the Phoenix Suns, the Phoenix Suns, this game was ready for them. It was there. But Chris Middleton, once Devin Booker kind of slowed down, that moment, it was so special. And it was just watching the Bucks as a complete unit. It was their defense. It was their offense. It was just impressive.
I mean, look, it's not just Giannis, can he close, right? It's big men, right? The whole question has been for a long time, can big men be the closer? We talk about Shaq being the most dominant presence in the game while he was playing. He still needed Kobe. He still needed Dwayne Wade to be hitting those shots. So the fact that Chris Middleton is able to step up and do that over and over again through these playoffs, frankly, and there have been some games where he hasn't, right? Mm-hmm. But the games where he has, boy, has he. And last night was just exceptional. The flip side, of course, is what happened with the Suns. And Chris Paul, just look at the numbers. This was his worst game of the finals so far. He totaled just 10 points. He shot 5-for-13 from the field. He also turned it over 5 times, including that crucial turnover late in the game that we just talked about. And Chris's point total has gone down in every game this series. Last night was the first time all season Paul had 5 turnovers and shot less than 40% from the field. So, Perk, was this just a bad night, or are you getting concerned about Chris Paul in these finals?
No, I've been concerned since after game one for the simple fact that the Milwaukee Bucks made an adjustment, and that adjustment was Drew Holiday. Once they put Drew Holiday on Chris Paul, Chris Paul started falling off like leaves off a tree in the wintertime. And what happened is that he's picking them up 94 feet. And you can see the lack in production. Last night, these are uncharacteristic turnovers by CP3, but Drew Holiday is doing a good job of putting pressure on him, wearing him down. Like, last night, I was very disappointed in CP3. I thought that the young guys played like he should have played, meaning with that veteran, that leadership mentality, and it just seemed like he didn't have it.
Now, this is my problem, right? I hate telling really good people bad news. This is an issue. This has been an issue for Chris Paul over the course of his career. And I know we can look at game one, but if you go back to the closeout game right before that, he had 40. So this has been a trend. He has been getting exhausted. And when you look at Chris Paul.
Wait, but you just said the closeout game, he dropped 40.
No, but I'm saying it's been continuing downhill. So right, it was like the closeout game, then it went 40, then it went 31.
That conference finals was every other day. And he scored 40 in the last game.
And we're not talking about the conference finals. We're talking
you just
about.
Brought it up.
No, I'm saying though, it started.
Kendrick,
the
how do you
the
do this
trend
every day?
Has kept going down. It's from the conference finals game all the way down. His scoring has gone down every single time. And look at some of these notable losses. And so my nerves tell me that Chris Paul might be holding on a little bit too tight. He's got to relax a little bit because you've seen he's had great leads. And this is why everybody's been rooting for Chris Paul, mm-hmm. because he's had so many heartbreaking losses, so many leads and moments that he should have won. You look at it. Some of it was D'Antoni. Some of it was Doc Rivers. Like, there's been a lot of stuff that he's been a part of. And here we are, 2-0 lead, and he is struggling every game that we progress in this series.
Well, look, I personally hate the quote narrative about Chris in the playoffs, mm-hmm. because it's just not largely true. If you look at the numbers he has done over the playoffs, if you play for 16 years and you play more than 100 playoff games, yes, you will be able to come up with some bad losses. But look at his overall numbers. This is ever in the history of the NBA. These are the three top people at his position. This is it.
Yes, and Oscar Robertson has a championship. Isaiah Thomas has two championships, and that's why people are rooting for Chris Paul. But you can't deny the fact that here in this moment, he is the ultimate leader of this team. Devin Booker has definitely risen his level. But coming into this, Chris Paul, if you look at his numbers continue to decrease, he has to pick this back up for them to get back in control.
I think it is more about Jrue Holiday than something mentally missing with Chris Paul. Jrue Holiday is one of the best defenders in the league for a reason. But also, your point about, he wants it too much.
Yeah.
I do think, and you see this across sports, and I actually asked Chris about this a few days ago, whether it was Pete Sampras talked about this at the end of his career. We had Derek Jeter talk about this at the end of his career, that when you win at the beginning of your career, you think you're always going to win.
Yeah.
And when you get to the end of a long career, the way Chris Paul has had, you are aware of just how precious every opportunity is. And even the greats of the greats of the greats, you do start sort of looking around and being like, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing too much? That sort of thing.
Well, here's the thing. When you talk about Jrue Holiday, when I saw him against the Brooklyn Nets a little bit, the sample size against Kyrie Irving, and I watched him make Kyrie Irving uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
I knew this challenger going against Chris Paul was going to be a cakewalk for him. So I don't know if it's going to get any easier for him. I don't know if Chris Paul is going to be able to produce and drop another 37 or 40 ball in this series. Because Jrue Holiday, this is why he's lacking production on the offensive end, because he's putting all his energy into stopping Chris Paul. And when you have a guy like that doing that at that high level, it's a problem.
Chris Paul is one of the best facilitators in the game. He is the point guard for a reason. And maybe they're going to reshift a little bit and make sure to feature Devin and Ayton more in a way that even if Jrue is on Chris that way, that they can move forward. We will see what the adjustments are. We will talk about all of those things coming up. We also have Bucks co-owner Mark Lazary coming up. He will join the show. I think he's happy. I don't know about you guys.
Oh,
I think he's happy about what happened. And he can hoop too, by the way. So guys, you know how in the last two games in the first quarter, we've seen Giannis sub out early and run back into the back tunnel? He explained why last night. Take a listen.
What the hell you guys say politely? I want to take a tinkle. A tinkle? Yeah. I went to take a tinkle, it came back. Yeah. That's polite, right? Yeah. Tinkle is polite, yeah. Both games. I went to take a tinkle, it went back.
So just hearing him say it makes me laugh.
I don't know what tinkle in Greek is, but I do know that that's a man with a 1.5-year-old child, because that is parent talk right there.
Yeah. No, look, you guys, sometimes you got to run. You hydrate so much during these games because you hear stories about cramps and stuff that sometimes when you got to go, you got to go.
Yeah, well, Richard was known for having the bubble guts, but we're not going to get into that conversation.
That's completely false.
Wow.
We're just going to lie to people on television, but that's fine.
True.
That's okay.
Just going to let you
two. You got a bubble gut.
Figured this. And our next guest is one of the investors who bought the Bucks in 2014. And boy, Mark Lazary, has that investment paid off. Welcome to The Jump. We're thrilled to have you back with us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure.
I don't know why I have to ask this question, but let me see if you answer it the way I expect. Mark, how do you feel about the series being tied up 2-2 and the way the Bucks have stormed back in these last two games?
I couldn't be happier, obviously.
yes.
It seems like we always go down 0-2. We did that with Brooklyn. We've done it here. So when you win, it just feels a lot better. The fact that we won at home was phenomenal, I think, for the fans, for everybody. So, yeah, I'm thrilled beyond belief.
Mark, Richard Jefferson here. I just want to go back to, you know, the signing of Giannis. When you get that type of commitment, and obviously we've seen great players, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, we've seen so many great players change locations. What did that mean to you and the organization that Giannis was ready to make that type of commitment?
Well, look, it was huge for our organization. It really was. I think for us as well, it was really big. I mean, one of the things you've got to understand is that what we've done here is we've ended up building this whole organization and the team so that everything was really positive. So Giannis signing was, I mean, for us, it was the whole culmination of what we had been trying to do. And it's actually worked out as well as we thought we could. And that commitment from him to the city, to the town, to the state, to the organization is, I think it's paid off. I mean, and it's one of the things that we talked about. You know, one of the things we talked about was the fact that if he did that, it would be easier for us to win a championship. And I think that's where we are. So I think it's worked out as well for everybody.
Mark, was there a week there where you were nervous it wasn't going to happen? Because he took a little bit of time into training camp to sign that Supermax.
I was always nervous, you know, until somebody I'm not going to tell you I wasn't nervous. I mean, you always feel good because you feel you have a relationship and you feel pretty positive about it. But people can always change their minds. And I think that was really important. You know, we felt very positive, but every day that it didn't happen, you just feel a little bit more nervous.
Hey, Mark, Kendrick Perkins here. I've been fighting for everybody to show Chris Middleton his props and give him his props and show love because I feel like he's a great player, right? And I want to know, how impressed are you by Chris Middleton's play in this playoff in these playoffs?
Look, Chris is a great player. You hit it on the head. For some reason, he doesn't get the respect he should. I mean, here he is. He scores 40 points last night. He's always our go-to guy. I mean, it's him and Giannis. Look, I've got to say, before every game, I go to Chris and go, Chris, tonight, just put it in. We just need buckets. And, you know, Chris is one of the calmest, nicest guys. He just looks at you and he just smiles. He goes, absolutely. You know, so when you sort of think about it, it's, you know, it's a huge amount of pressure that's out there. You've gone through it. You know what it is. And you got to make the shots. And you know, if you don't make the shots, we're going to fall down. We're going to fall further behind. So he is as mentally tough as anybody out there. He knows what he's got to do. He knows he's the guy who's got to make those shots. You know, sometimes he takes, you know, when he's taking those threes, I'm like, oh, please, please go in. And when it does, I'm like, yes.
Well, Mark, look, I've been through a lot of battles, but I don't know what it means to have to make shots, okay? I don't
know. Well, look, we've talked about Giannis. We've talked about Chris Middleton. I got to talk about the fans because we're sitting here on our set. We're right in the middle of that Deer District area. Yep. It has been incredible, Mark, to see, especially since you guys built that arena, just the way it has awakened downtown. And Richard was talking during the commercial break. He's like, they can't have 25,000 fans standing outside in 115-degree weather in Phoenix. Wow. It's a competitive advantage for you guys right now. And when you see these throngs of people in this space, you imagined it 5 years ago. But what is it like to actually see it happen?
That's crazy. You know, I wish I could tell you I imagined it. I really do. Look, we thought when we built it, the hope was that you'd have 1,000 or 2,000 people out there, right? That people would congregate. And we created that whole district thinking that people would be there. I don't think in my wildest dreams I thought we'd have 20, 25,000 people out there. Mm. I mean, I go out there. And I love it. I mean, it really is. You feel the energy. Everybody is screaming for the same thing. We show the fans to the players, you know, before the games. We're like, look, you got 20,000 people out there cheering you on. You got 20,000 in here. This city just wants you to win. You feed off of that. You know that people are there. You know, they'll show it sometimes on the screen in the arena. Look, it's unique. I don't know any other city that has that with their fans. So I think we know it, we feel it, and it's been far, far more than we ever thought it would be.
We've got to see a little bit of that too in Toronto with Jurassic Park, right? But it is a way that cities that might not be, you know, you look at a team like the Lakers where they've got all these titles and the championship banners hanging. If you're a city with, as Milwaukee, that hasn't won a title in 50 years, you can bring that competitive advantage to say, look, okay, right, we might not have the banners, but look at the fans and look at the support you have. And I do think that it's going to be a recruiting tool for you guys as well. So congratulations on that, on evening up the finals, Mark, on just all of the success that is coming. New grandchild on the way as well. Shout out to Alex. We're really, really happy for you guys, and we're looking forward to the series shifting to Phoenix.
So am I. I'm looking forward to being there. I'm looking forward to having for us coming back for game six. I don't know if you knew, but yesterday we ended up having Oscar Robertson and Kareem. It was great. I mean, I was in the room with them, and they're talking about when they won the championship. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, it's been 50 years and you guys look, I mean, great. And you realize how long it's been. I mean, so it's our time. It's our moment. As I said before, we are America's team. So let's go Bucks.
Love it. Thank you, Mark. Have a great afternoon.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
The rest of you guys stick with us, because coming up, Giannis's clutch block last night inspired our staff to put together clips of the best blocks in playoff history. Did someone on our set make the list? Stay tuned. You're watching The Jump.
Okay.
Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. Still here with Perk. Still here with Richard, who has lost a button. Perk?
I didn't lose a button.
I mean, you started the show buttoned up to here, and we praised you for finally, you know, dressing.
Where's my cat? Look, I look good.
Now one more button's gone down.
Like we said, Perk's buttons, they could take out one of these windows right here. They pop off.
That is not okay.
Mine just can breathe, just because mine can breathe a little bit.
I am begging you on national television to not do any more buttons. You've seen it before, but it was so good. We got to show you again. No, not Richard's shirt. Giannis's clutch block on DeAndre Ayton last night in the fourth quarter. Just wow. After the game, he gave a great breakdown of just the angle he took and why it would have been so different from the other way. It's just so, so good. Giannis inspired us, though, to run it back. The best playoff blocks ever. And look how good Michael Bodmer is to you, Richard Jefferson.
Look at that. Look at that.
On our friend Chauncey Billups.
I see you, RJ.
I had the duck.
You still got the wrinkles in the back of your neck.
Look at that.
It's all good.
Ooh, look at just watching it all the way there. Then Billups went and hit a big shot, but we still won game five.
And yet they beat you in that series.
Yeah,
also from 2004, Tayshaun Prince on Reggie. This was incredible.
Whoa, Reggie, you got dunked.
If you look
that
really, really closely, you can see a little me on the baseline there. Not little, young, but little is short compared to these guys.
That kind of retired Reggie, right?
That was probably one of those last moments.
Woo! 2013, LeBron James on Tiago Splitter. Please and thank you.
Yeah, but, you know, Bron against Tiago, come on.
No, don't
I have a feeling we could see LeBron again on this countdown. Just a thought.
I'm discrediting that.
This is definitely, by the way, we cannot sleep on what happened just last year, because in the bubble, Bam Adebayo takes it from Jason Tatum when it was already in the cylinder. He said he thinks he actually sprained his wrist on this block. He was sore for the next 2 days. Woo! In the cylinder. The man took it out of it. Boom. And 2016, this is still the one. It's a game seven. It's in the final quarter of a game seven. So I know the excitement over Giannis's block last night. Obviously, an NBA Finals block is huge. But this block in the closing minutes of a game seven, Richard, your vantage point from the court?
I was on the bench in awe. Like, wait, what? Did he just really do that?
Yeah. Are you thanking LeBron to this day for saving you?
I don't even really mess with him like that. Oh, so we cool.
Want to talk Suns for a moment. After his worst scoring performance of the playoffs back in game three, D-Book brought it last night, lit the Bucks up for 42 points in game four. That included an 18-point third quarter. Book shot a perfect 7-for-7 from the field in that frame. And look, just the day before, he was Perk talking about Book.
I'm going with Devin Booker. I picked him before the series, and I'm going to stick with him now. Plus 1,200, I might go drop $100 on that, because if he wins, that brings back a lot of cash. I'm listen, when you're trying to get your money up, just listen to Big Perk, right? He's going to win Finals MVP because the Suns are going to win this series. And right now, no one can stop Devin Booker.
Yeah, but
he's in his bag.
We've been talking about Giannis needing some help. Devin Booker is going to need some help.
No. You're wrong. Help. Let me tell you why you're wrong about this. If Devin Booker doesn't get in foul trouble yesterday, no one was going to stop him, and the Phoenix Suns would have won that game last night.
Well,
so those minutes were valuable.
Are we going to talk about the foul that wasn't called?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That could have been his sixth. And that might have been why Monty was a little nervous. Let's buy myself some more time. We have a lead. Let's keep him on the bench and then put him in at the most crucial time. But the momentum had already swung, and it was a bit too late.
Well, I picked my Finals MVP. He straddled the fence.
No, I didn't straddle. Roll the tape. You know, we reviewed that. Let's roll the tape and see what Richard said. I'm talking about myself in third person.
We ain't got no tape.
Y'all don't care about me. You know, who did I say?
I think Middleton. Did you pick Chris Middleton?
Yeah, damn right I said Middleton. I said Chris Middleton. I said somebody that's not going to be on that four-person list is going to win the MVP. And what did Batman do? Batman showed up. They lit it up in the sky. Because, really, look, even Perk said it. We're not going to get into the Batman stuff. I am. Batman showed up when you needed him, and that's what Chris Middleton did. That's who I said was going to be the Finals MVP.
The fact that the audience have to watch so much of your chest is just...
Normally, you got to pay extra for that.
In what? All right. We paid, Richard. We've paid the price. Let's switch over to Team USA. As first reported by The Athletic, confirmed by ESPN, Team USA guard Bradley Beal has entered the health and safety protocols. Mm. So this will likely leave him unable to play at the Tokyo Games. In fact, Woj just tweeted out that Team USA is looking to replace him on the roster. They're supposed to leave town at the end of the week. So, Richard, what do you think? Without Bradley Beal, we don't know for sure who they would go to. Anthony Edwards is one of the younger players on the select team. And, of course, you know, we still have Devin Booker and Jrue Holiday who will join that team after this series wraps. But are you worried?
I would say I'm worried, yes. You're talking about the second leading scorer in the league, a guy that would have been the leading scorer if not for a pulled hamstring. So I'm a little worried because you see that the USA basketball still has some things that they have to work on. But ultimately, if you can add a guy like Anthony Edwards and give him some experience, and they do have help, like you said, in Devin Booker. So from that position, you're not missing much. But you can see the U.S., they need all hands on deck. So I'm a little worried about that.
Well, I think they should go get Anthony Edwards, right? A young, hungry guy that's going to go out there and compete at the highest level. And look, I think it could be kind of like when they took Anthony Davis, right? Embrace the young fella, bring him along, show him the ropes. He could learn some things, and he also can contribute.
Yeah. Now, look, producer Jeff just said in my ear that Anthony Edwards has a sprained ankle right now in his day-to-day, but I think you could still take him unless it's one of those high ankle sprains and something. But we'll see. I mean, we'll have to see what they do. As I've said on the show every day this week, they have Kevin Durant. I am not going to worry about a team that has Kevin Durant on it until it is time to worry. But of course, Bradley Beal's a hit. Losing Bradley Beal's hit, and I feel bad for him. This is a great opportunity. I know how much he was looking forward to the Olympics, and now he's not going to get to experience that. All right, coming up, there is one Bucks fan who supported the team. This is so cool. Wait till you see this feature. We're going to tell you the story of Bucks superfan Dr. Dave Margolis. This is next on The Jump. You're going to want to stick around. And we are still here in Deer District, where the fans were electric last night during the Bucks Game 4 win. And as the Bucks continue toward winning their first NBA title in 50 years, their fans remain indeed a vital cog in that mission. Bucks are 9-1 at home during these playoffs, and in particular, there is one Bucks fan whose support of the team is both motivating and inspiring. Take a look.
Medicine. Clamp. Scissors.
Hairspray.
My name is Dr. Dave Margolis. For over 50 years, I have been a Milwaukee Bucks fan. There are a lot of people who call me the arm guy.
Ooh, we got a new one. The Dr. Dave Wave Cam.
As people figured out that the arm guy from the Bucks games is actually a doctor at Children's Wisconsin, that was rather entertaining for people to learn that this idiot happens to take care of kids with cancer.
Blood counts today, white count of?
0.5.
Yes, so. Very good.
Dr. Dave is awesome. His passion for the Bucks is like no other.
So how about those Bucks? What do you think?
He always is trying to joke around with kids, make them feel at home.
I know you got basketballs in there. Just kidding.
He's so passionate about his patients and his families, and he would do anything he could to help them make their days a little brighter.
We only do this for home games. Schedule comes out. We'll send an email now to the Child Life team at Children's Wisconsin and say it's hair painting season. We've been doing it over 15 years.
Giannis with a big bucket.
The Pucks, they all knew me from my behavior in the fourth row. And I looked at them, I said, guys, you make the playoffs, I'll have the patients paint my hair, and I'll come to the games with my hair painted.
They're so excited to just paint his hair and have fun.
How's it look? Is it green? Do I look like a leprechaun or something?
And it makes them forget about what else is going on.
Whoa, that's cold.
The spray paint is cold. And so I will reflexively go like this sometimes when I'm getting painted.
There you go. There you go.
I remember one of the teenagers, Doc, you just poisoned me. Suck it up. What kid wouldn't love to spray paint some guy's hair? When you're in a fight for your life, you need to have a goal every day. It's a young man by the name of Ian. And Ian, one of the sickest patients we've ever taken to bone marrow transplant. And hair painting ended up being one of his goals.
Look what it's doing to your hand. That was gonna do to me.
Ian hair chalked my hair while he was on the ventilator.
Wait, let's see. Is it green?
Green?
No. Keep going, man.
And to be able to provide that as a goal, knowing that spray painting a doctor's hair was part of that healing, part of that recovery, is really, really wonderful.
Everything started to go up from there. So Dr. Margolis has helped me an extreme amount. It was really a lot to me.
I'm gonna keep doing it until I retire. And I hope in the future we'll find some younger physician that's a Bucks fan that wants to do it. And as the Bucks keep going, we will continue that tradition, I hope.
Wow, what an incredible piece. Shouts to our producer, Alexandra Nolan. And there was Dr. Dave getting his hair painted at Children's Hospital last night. And then he made it to the game.
Yes.
Leading the crowd, being the arm guy who just happens to also cure cancer, you know.
Lovely. Got the hair like the Joker.
Yeah, I wonder if we could paint your hair green.
Ooh. Kendrick, I think that is just a fantastic idea. Stick with us. We'll see if Richard's head changes colors. We'll also talk about who has the edge moving forward in this finals. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Speaking of the draft, Caesars William Hill just released their odds for the number one pick, and here's a shock. No, shocking nobody. Kate Cunningham is a virtual lock, minus 8,000. So let's just assume he's the number one pick. Richard, what can he bring to the Pistons, assuming they keep that pick?
Well, he just has a versatility. He has, you know, he's a big guard, plays the game the right way, can do a little bit of everything, but it's not like a little bit. He does a lot of things well. And so I think everyone has been excited about this young player.
Well, let me help him out because obviously he hasn't done his homework. And I'm going to give you a comparison, right? Who did the Detroit Pistons draft a while ago, a couple of decades? Grant Hill. This is who
I'm
this
so
kid
I'm so glad
was.
You didn't go down the Darko Milicic road.
Don't you disrespect Grant Hill.
I'm not disrespecting him, but his game is similar to Grant Hill.
He's not that
Trust
athletic.
Me.
Let's
not
talk
that
about
athletic.
A little upset that happened. happened last night. The WNBA All-Stars beating Team USA in the All-Star game. So Team USA about to go off to the Olympics, but do you think, Perk, this loss might actually be a good thing? Sharpen them up a little bit?
Well, you know what? I'm going to look at it on the other side, Rachel. I feel like the All-Stars were trying to make a statement. You know, some of them was probably saying, hey, why I'm not on Team USA?
Oh, there's a couple of them saying that.
Yeah, okay.
There's a couple of them saying that. But I don't think that this makes a difference. This is probably the best team that they're going to face,
right?
In my opinion. When you're going against the WNBA All-Stars, that is the best team that you're going to face in the Olympics. So I think this is a great tune-up for them.
Well, one of the women who was left off Team USA, we've talked about it a bunch, Nneka Ogumike, she was denied a petition by FIBA to then go play for Nigeria, where her family's from. She wanted to go play with Team Nigeria. Team USA didn't want her. And FIBA said, well, look, you've already played too many games with Team USA in the past that you are officially now in that program. She is looking to appeal that. Her sister, our teammate here, Chinee, will be able to play for Team Nigeria, which is very cool. But if you were in NECA's shoes, Richard, how would you feel?
Well, it's tough because, you know, I've been following this, and she's the only, you know, former MVP to never be on a USA team. And so at that point in time, if you still want to represent a country and you want an opportunity to play in the Olympics, and you're, and you know, we don't know how many years. She's got 4 more years for the next Olympics. So you can feel the pain. But ultimately, once you've been capped, as they say, there's no place else for you to go.
Seem like Team USA scared. That's why they don't want her to play. Yeah,
they didn't make the decision about Team Nigeria.
I'm just saying they don't want her to go over there and give them their word.
Yeah. She can appeal to the World Court Arbitration for Sport. I don't know if I'm saying that right. We will have to see if that happens. But let's get the Ogumike sisters, all three of them, over to the Olympics. Let's do that. All right, take a look at this. The Bucks now the 8th team to tie the finals at 2-2 after trailing 2-0. 3 of the previous 7 have gone on to win it all. So, Perk, is this series shifts back to Phoenix. Which team do you think has the edge right now?
I'm still going with the Suns because they have the home court advantage, and now we have the fans back in the arena. Again, I'm going back to my original point that I've been preaching. Chill out, Richard.
I didn't say nothing.
Listen,
I said nothing.
My original point, fans matter. Home court matters now. And the Suns, they have one of the loudest, if not the loudest, arenas in these playoffs.
But I think the Suns have the edge, but Milwaukee has the momentum. And I think that's the issue because say what you want. Hush your mouth. All of the attention, all of the focus, all of the pressure goes on to the Phoenix Suns, and then ultimately, I think Chris Paul.
Milwaukee has the momentum.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I want to thank Mark Lazary, our guest today. Thank these guys as well. We've got so much more to come. The Jump is headed to Phoenix. We'll see you from there tomorrow. Richard's already leaving for his flight. Bye.
I'm making sure he don't want no smoke.